Okay.
All right. Okay, now we're official. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start this meeting of the TRPA Legal Committee calling to order. The date is Wednesday, September 28, 2022, and it's 8:16. First item on the agenda will be a roll call to determine quorum. Catherine?
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Alvin?
Here.
Novacell?
Here.
Ms. Williamson? Mr. Rice? Mr. Hips? Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you, Catherine. All right. So moving on. So just a little bit of housekeeping here for members of the public who are joining us remotely. To observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov under the calendar header. Click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for September 28th, 2022. There you will find a link to the public meeting posted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you use the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members. Do we have any remote committee? We don't. Okay. So, okay. Finally, I'd like to ask that make sure we turn all of our cell phones to mute. Members of the public, actually, a couple more here. Members of the public who joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment and you will be called to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment, speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. And that would be our Al here. If you're viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. Okay, so now we're on to the next item, which is approval of the agenda. Staff, are there any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Thank you, John. All right, so being no changes, we will deem the agenda approved as posted. On to item number 2, approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
One abstention.
Okay. If we have an abstention,
we have a quorum.
Okay, so we're good.
The majority of the quorum, right?
Very good. Okay. All right. So let's see. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And a abstention. Motion passes. Okay, on to item number 3. We are now on to agenda item 3, appeal of plan revision ERSP 2019-0389-01. That's the Verizon cell tower located at 1360 Ski Run Boulevard, South Lake Tahoe, California. APN number 025-580-007. Appeal number admin 2022-0036. Information can be found on page 261 of our packet. I will pass this on now to John Marshall to give TRPA staff presentation. Mr. Marshall.
Thank you. So what we're going to do with our standard appeal process, I'm going to give about a 10-minute introduction. Mr. Miller will then take over and provide his presentation on his appeal. Then we have Verizon, the permit holder, here. And I have 2 people that will give their presentation. Then we can come back around for discussion, public comment, and ultimately a decision.
Okay.
So if we can have the first slide, please. So just to get us oriented, we're on the South Shore with this cell tower. As you may remember, this was an appeal that came to you not so long ago. The little red square there is the location of the cell tower, or the parcel. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is the parcel map, and you can see the location of the tower next to the parking lot on the kind of bottom right side of the site plan. If you go to the next slide, please. This is the cell tower. We're going to be talking about the foundation today because the cell tower itself was approved, and the matter for appeal here is the change, the plan revision that was applied for by Verizon to drop the foundation mat 6 feet from 7.5 feet maximum below ground, below surface grade to 13.5 feet. All right, let's go to the next slide. This is there any way we can shift that a little bit off the, maybe not. Will the public still see the?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we have here is what was approved is on the left, and that shows the mat foundation starting from a foot or two below surface on the right-hand downhill side. This elevation, I think, is from the east. And then the uphill side, the excavation, maximum excavation depth was 7.5 feet. So that's our kind of starting point. And the plan revision that Verizon came in and applied for, and that was frankly anticipated by the condition three of the permit, was to drop that foundation from the maximum depth to building a spillover one.
Thank you.
Everyone, this is Bud Hicks, a committee member.
Sorry, I'm late.
To drop the foundation an additional 6 feet. And that was, I want to make clear that it was a revision to an existing approved plan. And the only thing on appeal are the issues that arise from the plan revision itself. I think most of the discussion will take place over the process that the plan revision took. And so I just want to touch very briefly on a couple of things and then turn it over to Mr. Miller. The first thing is that the same report that was utilized to approve the original excavation down to 7.5 feet is what was used to approve the foundation drop another 6 feet. If we have the next slide, please. And that essentially is this boring core, which if you remember the site plan, there was a parking lot and the test bore was close to the excavation zone, but uphill and on the flat parking lot. So what this demonstrates, without going into too much detail, is that there was no, and from reading the report, there was no interception of groundwater. And that's what TRPA staff based this decision on, both in the first go-round that was decided by the hearings officer and then the appeal denied by the governing board. So the permit went through TRPA processes. That permit is now under litigation in the Eisenstecken lawsuit. But it provided the justification down that there was no groundwater encountered down to 19 feet. Can we have the next slide, please? So as a result of the appeal, TRPA staff went out and monitored and did a soil analysis on the side cut of the excavation down to 7.5 feet, which is what they already had a permit to do. So this was a permitted activity, not subject to this appeal. And that revealed no evidence of groundwater. But what's, I think, telling here is that bedrock was encountered at least at 7.5 feet, hard bedrock. So if we could skip back to the comparison slide, please, Catherine. And so what that means is that on this slide, on the left-hand side, you're already hitting bedrock at the where the approved excavation from the original permit. And so what they actually had to do was excavate through bedrock to set the foundation 6 feet lower. There was just no chance of interception of groundwater or interference with groundwater flow. And let's just talk very briefly about the processes. TRPA processes plan revision just like it processes all other plan revisions. And that is, if it can be done at staff level, it's done at staff level. If it happens to trigger one of the bases for which the code says take it either to hearings officer or to the governing board, then we do that. But this was just a drop, as we said, of 6 feet in excavation, and that is under rule 2.2.2, part of what is delegated to the executive director. The process, was followed with regard to public notice, is that there in the plan revision like this is not required to have public notice. And so there was no rules violated there. The other major process thing I think we can talk about a little bit, and I'm certain Mr. Miller will bring it up, is regarding the process for getting approval for excavation. And really there's two kind of key processes here. One is the code section that says that contains the prohibition for groundwater interference. Essentially, you can't interfere or intercept groundwater unless you get an exception. But if you're not interfering with groundwater, you don't need an exception, right? The second code section is whether or not you are exceeding 5 feet in excavation. And if you are, then you need to have a soils hydro report to justify that either will there be interference or will there won't be. And the soils hydro report in this case, which was the one that was utilized for the first approval, established that there was going to be no interception of groundwater. With that, I'm going to allow Mr. Miller to take over. But on that basis, we staff urges the committee to recommend to the governing board that they deny the appeal.
Okay. Good morning, all. I don't have any prepared remarks. This frankly came as a little bit of a surprise to me. I'm not a lawyer. I've never participated in a legal committee meeting here at the TRPA. So nonetheless, I'm happy to be here. And I did have a presentation to load. Okay, so I guess the main thing is, like John said, first of all, my background, just let me briefly mention, I've lived here at Lake Tahoe for nearly 30 years now, and I worked at the Regional Water Board for 25 years as one of their supervisory chiefs over engineers and geologists and scientists, and I worked a lot in this basin, but I worked regionally as well, which was from Oregon down to Los Angeles along the Eastern Sierra. So I have a lot of regulatory background, and that's where I come to this from. And I've worked with TRPA over many years. And so I was aware of the permitting processes and various requirements. And I've been participating in this project for several years now. And when I saw that this excavation was approved without, in my view, what was a proper hydrologic, geologic soils report, and without any analysis of what the groundwater conditions really might be on this beleaguered parcel, which is asked so much, I was like, no, this isn't right. This process isn't being followed. So it really is a lot about the process and putting the cart before the horse. And so that was my objection, that this was going to impact groundwater, and there was no evidence to suggest otherwise, because the report that was utilized was, as John showed, simply a borehole 8 inches in diameter down to 19 feet. And frankly, you can't discern hydrology from that. All you can do is see if there's water present at the time. And that's not what the TRPA regulations are aimed at or intended for. They're intended for seasonal groundwater conditions and to identify those, you know, indicators in the soil, in the vegetation, and in the hydrology that are going to contribute to the groundwater conditions. And I didn't see any of that being evaluated. So to me, it was kind of a no-brainer to say, hey, wait a second, this is not right. This report is inadequate. So that's why I objected. And I was hoping that we would be able to get that information before the excavation occurred. But the stay was not granted. And so the excavation proceeded. And so to me, that was just a violation. And you know, I objected, and I wasn't really heard. So be that as it may, it was an opportunity for us to interact a little bit about this and how TRPA approaches this process. And so that's really what my focus is. So if we want to go to the presentation, we can talk about some of the things, but first I want to talk about why we're here today. Because when I appealed the matter, I did it under the TRPA rules. And my expectation was that there would be a hearing next month, because that's what the law says. But rather than that, TRPA played fast and loose with the law and pushed the hearing to today. So, you know, that was a significant hardship on me to advance everything by 30 days. It was an injustice from the standpoint of allowing me and my associates to marshal our information and any experts, you know, that we might want to bring in and so forth. And so, you know, the whole thing was just pushed, including getting the appeal in on time so that you would have, your staff would have enough time to respond. And I did provide 16 days in advance of your September hearing, even though I cut myself short by a week to do that. So, you know, I've had some long evenings, let's say, managing this thing for me and my appellants. And the reason that happened, I think, is quite significant, is because TRPA played fast and loose with the rules for the appeal hearing when we appeal, when Eisenstein appealed back in late last year. And so rather than going to hearing under the law as required, TRPA postponed it for 60 days. Okay. And then Verizon had to come in after that and get their plans together. And so they were pushing for the end of the season. And then when the stay request came in, TRPA said, well, we're not going to push this beyond October 15th for Verizon. So they just shut us down and did whatever they decided to do on whatever basis they decided, which had nothing to do with the law. So that's my first objection. The RPA needs to follow their processes. So moving to the alleged violations. So then even with that, we didn't get the stay response on time. TRPA is supposed to respond in 2 days. We didn't hear anything. Verizon made a stay motion. TRPA responded a day later and a day late to say, we're going to go with Verizon's proposal. and therefore moved the hearing up. And so, you know, there wasn't very much that we could do on our side other than say, okay, I guess we want to have our opportunity to speak. That's what we'll do. And so here we are. I mean, my feeling on it was, you didn't need to do any of that. You could have just waited till October 15th. Verizon could plan their thing. Everybody goes beyond October 15th in most cases anyway. So it's a roll of the dice. You might be able to do it. You might not. And there was no justification for violating the law, in my view. So that's kind of where I come to that. So focusing on the presentation here again. Part of the negotiation around moving this hearing up was that, you know, we wanted to get some information on the groundwater, and we wanted it from an independent, qualified hydrologist, geologist, soil scientist, not just an engineer in training, geotech, who was under the supervision of some civil engineer, and then later the plan was signed by another civil engineer. So to me, the report was very, very limited, but it was all I had to work with. So again, the idea was before you do any excavation, you should go out and have Verizon, or, you know, I don't care who hires it, but get an independent investigator and not just send your staff out there to get the fix in. And so that was ignored, and the excavation proceeded. And then John Marshall here proposed to send the TRPA in, the staff in. And we object to that. We object to the inclusion of the contents of the report in the record. But again, that was ignored. And the reason why we're objecting is because, frankly, it's kind of irrelevant. It's after the fact. The fact of the matter was you were supposed to do the soils hydro report in advance by a proper qualified expert. TRPA jumped the gun. When the application came in, staff questioned, should we require a different soils hydro report, a new one? Because all they did is rubber stamp the old one and sent it forward with some new seismic information. So, there was no answer to that question in the record other than that we know, no, they didn't require it. So, that's highly questionable in my view, and against the regulations.
Mr. Miller, if I don't mean to interrupt, but you cite the one rule here about employees not accepting present compensation. What's the basis of that?
Well, my feeling is that the report is supposed to be from an independent agent submitted as part of a complete application and not just send staff out to take a look at it and give a blessing to it.
So are you
saying I'm implying that's a conflict for your staff.
Because the staff are paid.
Absolutely.
But aren't independent experts also paid when they're engaged by TRPA? I mean, they don't work.
I wasn't suggesting that they would be paid by TRTA. I was suggesting that they would be paid by Verizon, which is the ordinary thing.
Okay, but they would be paid by Verizon, right? So is there a conflict there? Does that present a conflict?
No, if Verizon would have prepared a proper soils hydro report with the requisite information, that would have been what we were asking prior to the excavation.
Thank you.
Okay, why don't we go to the next slide? So again, part of the requirement for Verizon is to submit a complete application for their new project permit. And in this case, every applicant is to fill out and certify an environmental impact checklist form. And that's the environmental documentation for their project from their view. And then staff's supposed to review that and determine whether to approve a FONSI, prepare an environmental assessment, or move to an environmental impact statement declaration. So in this case, there was no IEC submitted. The checkbox on the application checklist was left blank with no explanation. And staff bypassed that and did not interrupt that incompleteness. I feel that was a major, major deficiency because, as I identified in my affidavit for the state, there were numerous things that the project could affect that were potentially significant impacts, where there was either insufficient data to make a determination. And again, these mainly concern the groundwater and effects on nearby SEZ and so forth. So these were identified in my affidavit. And again, there was no IEC submitted to verify what the potential impacts might be or even to begin an assessment. And so that was just skipped. And there were a number of other things that were incomplete in the application. And staff moved right ahead to just stamp those plans and approve the exception. In the reverse, I guess they approved the exception and then stamped the plans later. That was my assessment. Is like, man, TRPA is moving ahead here without a proper groundwater report and no environmental assessment. What in the world is going on? After all we've been through on this project, they're pulling a fast one here, in my view. And I, you know, that's where I come to it. So if we could move to the next slide, please.
Yeah, I do want to check. We had a 15-minute more.
Right. You guys about 45 seconds.
So I was just going to say, okay. We've just got about a minute left.
If you whatever. Want to wrap up. If you have any questions for me, I'm here.
Do you want to do you're allowed to do a quick synopsis if you'd like.
Well, why don't you skip through that? We kind of covered that. Again, incomplete application stuff. Next slide, please. Again, the staff did not compare what was actually required in the code and compact against what was in the rules, which was, or in the permit, which was kind of a some sort of a shorthand interpretation of the rule, I guess. So anyway, I'll move to the next, please. And then concerning the excavation requirements, the code section B really wasn't followed in its entirety. And because of that, there was no basis to move to an exception under Part A. And that exception was for health and safety and for, what was the other term? Building above ground, yeah. Above ground structures. So anyway, there was no basis to even move to granting an exception because the requirements of the section B of that code were not met with the granting of the approval. Next slide. And that's what was missing. There were no measures included in the project to maintain groundwater flows if they should occur, to avoid adverse impacts to SEZ vegetation, or to prevent any groundwater or subsurface water flow from leaving the project area surface flow. And so that negates the consideration of exceptions under A. And, you know, TRPA is asserting this violation. So next slide, please. Yeah, I don't even know if we need to get into all the public health and safety findings on that basis. Again, I just felt, you know, there were a lot of bogus findings put forward. So. Next slide. Yeah, and finally we come to this. So then in looking at the permits or the revisions for the plans, this was the first time I had opportunity to review the complete final plans after the exception was granted. And on review of that, I find that the project as proposed will result in coverage in excess of what is allowed by somewhere from 49 feet to 165 feet, depending on which Verizon drawing you examine closely. And staff took a look at my work and apparently didn't understand it and really didn't address the violations. So if the project is approved and the appeal is denied, and Verizon moves ahead to complete the project as the revised plans show, it's my assertion that the project will be overcovered by as much as 30%.
All right, that's it, Mr. Miller. Thank you very much. So with that, we're going to offer the permittee this time. And I apologize.
Michelle Duarte.
Michelle Duarte. Thank you, Michelle. And we have 10 minutes.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Michelle Duarte with SAC Wireless on behalf of Verizon Wireless, presenting our response to the appeal of 6-foot deeper excavation for its Ski Run Boulevard facility in South Lake Tahoe. We do appreciate this opportunity to speak again about our project to the TRPA board. The deeper excavation complies with TRPA regulations and the California Building Code, so we ask the board to deny the appeal. We emphasize that this project will provide critical wireless coverage to the Heavenly Valley and Bijou Park areas, benefiting residents, visitors, and emergency personnel. Alongside me is Paul Albritton of McKenzie Albritton LLP, who will further respond to the appeal. Page 16. Again, we will review the timeline for this project. In July 2019, a geotechnical engineer with Teradyne Engineering prepared a report confirming that their on-site investigation found no evidence of groundwater to a depth of 19 feet at the project location. Also that year, Verizon Wireless filed its permit application with TRPA. In January 2020, the South Lake Tahoe City Council denied an appeal and approved a use permit for the facility. In May 2021, TRPA approved land coverage calculations for the existing site. And in October 2021, the TRPA hearing officer approved the permit. In February of this year, Verizon Wireless filed a building permit application with the City of South Lake Tahoe. In March, the TRPA board denied an appeal of its permit, thereby granting final approval. In April 2022, Teradyne Engineering issued a supplemental report confirming that increasing the excavation depth by 6 feet to 13.5 feet is feasible. On July 28th, the City of South Lake Tahoe approved the building permit. On August 2nd, Verizon Wireless filed a request with TRPA to increase the excavation depth by 6 feet to 13.5 feet. TRPA staff approved the deeper excavation on August 5th and approved plan revisions reflecting the deeper excavation on August 17th. On August 22nd, an opponent appealed staff's approval of deeper excavation and requested a stay of all construction. Verizon Wireless responded to that stay request within 48 hours as required, and on August 24th, agreed to a compromise to stay pouring of concrete until today so the board can hear the appeal. In the meantime, TRPA sent its soil scientists to the project site on September 1st and 14th to inspect the excavation to 13.5 feet, and she found no evidence of groundwater. Next page, please. A condition of approval of the TRPA permit for the site initially allowed excavation to a depth of 7 feet, 6 inches, providing that if the final design required deeper excavation, that Verizon Wireless could apply for approval. After consulting with TRPA staff about the process, Verizon Wireless filed its request for 6 foot deeper excavation on August 2nd, consistent with the condition of approval. Staff approved the deeper excavation in a letter dated August 5th. The minor 6 foot increase was reflected in the plans approved and stamped by TRPA on August 17th. Next slide, please. There are two factors relevant to this excavation depth. The California building code requirements are based on formulas and site conditions, slope, tower location, map dimensions, and soil properties. Also, geotechnical requirements specify that the map foundation must be embedded a minimum of 5 feet below the existing grade elevation, according to the report by Teradyne Engineering. Next slide, please. For these reasons, the excavation for the tower foundation was increased by 6 feet to a depth of 13.5 feet. The California Building Code clearly requires increased depth, and the geotechnical recommendation required a slightly deeper excavation to ensure a safe tower design. We have our engineer, Emilio Valerio Hernandez, in attendance to answer any questions regarding the excavation. Next slide, please. When Verizon Wireless's excavation reached a depth of 8 feet and hit bedrock on September 1st, the TRPA consulting soil scientist, Marcel Munecki, was on site to inspect, and she determined that there was no evidence of groundwater. The excavation continued until it reached 13.5 feet, and September 14th, Mrs. Munecki again inspected the site along with TRPA senior planner Julie Roll, who had approved the deeper excavation, and TRPA general counsel John Marshall. Once again, there was no evidence of groundwater intrusion, which is the appellant's main concern. Next slide, please. Verizon Wireless also asked geotechnical engineers from Krazan and Associates to inspect the excavation area. And on September 20th, Krazan issued a report stating that the inferred average groundwater elevation in the area is approximately 127 feet below the excavated area. Krazan concluded that there was no evidence of groundwater in the excavation, including any evidence of current seepage or dampness in the sidewalls of the excavation. Next page, please. The appellant also raised the topic of vegetation management of the site. Best management practices, or BMPs, are included in the approved plans, which have been carefully followed by Verizon Wireless and are shown on pages 7 and 8 of its construction plans. These were implemented before construction started. Prior to construction, a TRPA inspector signed off on Verizon Wireless's BMPs, allowing excavation to commence. Verizon Wireless has complied by following and maintaining the BMPs throughout construction. If the project were to fall out of compliance, TRPA would notify Verizon Wireless what measures would need to be addressed. As you can see in these photos, Verizon Wireless took several vegetation protection measures. For example, trees were wrapped with orange construction fencing along the drip line, as shown on the BMPs in the plans. Site fencing and hay rolls were placed to contain any debris. Next slide, please.
We missed a slide. Go back up one.
Another BMP page.
There's a photograph of the soils containment. Can we go back one?
Yeah, she's trying.
Oh, all right. Well, just keep going. It's a picture of tarp over dirt.
BMP disposal of material. Only large rock has been removed from the Tahoe Basin, as most of the excavated soil will be reused as filler after removal of any rocks over 6 inches. There was a photo on the page that showed the sifting process with excavated material passing through equipment that separates larger non-compactable items from usable soil. There it is. We emphasize that inspectors from both the city of South Lake Tahoe and TRPA regularly visit the site at each stage. Both have determined that Verizon Wireless's construction practices comply with the regulations. Our construction manager, Jason Kidd, is in attendance to answer any questions about the excavation and construction process to date. To conclude, this project has been through an extensive approval process with the city of South Lake Tahoe, and TRPA has denied all previous appeal attempts by opponents. 3 geotechnical investigators have found no evidence of groundwater in the excavation area, confirming that TRPA staff properly approved the deeper excavation. We ask the board to deny the appeal and allow Verizon Wireless to complete construction of this critical communications infrastructure to benefit the community. Next slide, please. Again, our experts are available for questions, but I'd now like to provide Mr. Albritton the opportunity to respond to the appeal. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to see you this site again. Last time we were all online. It should be obvious that there's a dedicated group of projects to the particular cell tower. Verizon Wireless has been experiencing an overloading of its network. The antennas serving this part of South Lake Tahoe are currently in Paris and far away, and we are in high peak areas having a big network is essentially overloaded, so we're working very hard to try and bring the network up to provide the kind of service that public safety has already written letters and said that they need. Mr. Miller, we do think elevating form over process over substance, as he said, is focused on process. And we're concerned that that process was really aimed at trying to delay our construction past October 15th, which would push us out another 7 months before we could excavate. And so we appreciate the cooperation of TRBA helping moving us forward and compromising on a stay that allowed us to provide the evidence. And the fact is, it is form over evidence. Process or evidence. The evidence from the beginning has been that the drill rig was unable to go below 19 feet because they hit bedrock in the original investigations of July 2019. For that reason, we're using a MAC foundation instead of a pier foundation, which is also reviewed, but a pier foundation would go down about 30 feet. So we're up about 13 feet in order to have the least impact. And the evidence clearly was there was no water then. There was no water when the second hydrologists went through, and now we've had a third set of hydrologists go through and say not only is there no groundwater, there's no evidence of groundwater. So there's no perching, there's no redox, there's nothing to suggest there would be any kind of impact on groundwater. So the decisions were properly made, and we shouldn't put process over substance. And the evidence clearly shows that this is an appropriate investigation, appropriate foundation, and California Building Code, as well as all of the hydrology reports confirm that. So we respect the dedication of the opposition, but this project needs to move forward, and we request that you deny the appeal. And we're here to answer any questions. As we mentioned, we've got our professional engineer on the line. We respect the dedication. And as well, we've got the construction manager online if you have any questions about the entrance. Thanks so much for your time.
We were going to go back to the rebuttal, but you want to
add rebuttal? Well, I have them here.
Okay. At the table. Yeah, please go ahead.
And I understand from a financial standpoint why preparing detailed structural drawings are deferred until project approval, but you must have been aware of the topographical characteristics of the site and the potential need for deepening the footing. And I'm just wondering why. That analysis wasn't done, this could have been avoided if it was included in the original application.
And, you know, there's a whole combination of soils engineers and structural engineers and tower engineers who all worked together to come up with the specific design. It became apparent really earlier in the year that there was an issue with respect to confirming the excavation date. That's the reason really that there is that condition of approval in the appeal, the March appeal documents that the board reviewed. So we knew that it needed to be looked at, and that's why it became a condition of approval early on. But it really was the workings of the structural engineers, the soils engineers, the tower manufacturer, in coming up with the specific depth for the excavation, and it gets down to the pounds of pressure that are recommended on the soil by the MAC Foundation when it's placed into the ground. So there was, as you suggest, concern about what the depth should be, and then it was finalized really in the careful inspection with the South Lake Tahoe building permit application. Do you want to add to anything?
We did know we were aware that we were confirming everything with the tower foundation company and the soils engineer and making sure that everything was correct before we did use our condition of approval process to ask for a deep excavation.
Yeah, so that's why the 3F condition is in the approval.
Okay. Very good. So I'll get back to the rebuttal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So 5-minute rebuttal from Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller, you want to come on?
Okay. Mr. Albritton is saying that we were representing substance over evidence. And I would say that is not correct. Or process over evidence. And I would say that we believe the process is important. I've always believed the process is important. I have a long track record of doing my very best to follow the complex regulatory laws. And TRPAs are particularly complex in my view. And people are very easily tripped up. And so I don't really have any issue with Verizon in this case and what they did. They just simply made an application. My issue is really with TRPA and how they process that application, not requiring the environmental impact checklist, not requiring a number of other things, and then just moving ahead to stamp the plan. So this to me was just all wrong, because what we're looking at is a TRPA program that is designed to protect groundwater and has been for decades, including was helped to be developed by this soil scientist that submitted a letter on my behalf saying, hey, look, this geotechnical report is inadequate. It does not serve the purpose. And so TRPA is going around allowing single boreholes that don't tell anything about groundwater, and then moving right ahead on that basis to approve significant impacts on this project and on, it looks like, other projects by Verizon and quite possibly by many others. So I'm just calling into question what is going on with this program, because you're not following your own regulation. The regulations aren't about going out and drilling a borehole that doesn't tell you anything about the actual groundwater condition. All that tells you is there was no groundwater present at the time. And your regulations are designed around seasonal impacts. And then Verizon gets up here and says, oh, we're so in compliance with our requirements and everything. And as soon as they got their permit and they put up the fence, and there was supposed to be a vegetation protection fence, they went right out there and drove their tracked rig outside the fence where it was prohibited and moved the fence against the regulations and permit and created whatever impact that was, until I finally identified it and submitted a report to TRPA, for which I was thanked and given no further information. So again, I filed a complaint, because what are they doing out here outside the fence with their tracked excavator blading in a row, basically? We're digging, you know. So I don't agree that that the BMPs are being followed. We had another incident, which I reported and was not included in the record as I requested, when Verizon was out excavating in the right-of-way city. By the way, they also disturbed the city right-of-way with their equipment when they were doing their excursion outside the fence. And so I came by one day just to take a look at what was going on, and they were excavating in the street, and then they hit a gas line. And there was a four-engine response from the fire department. Southwest Gas was called in. The thing was shut down. The neighborhood was evacuated. The thing was shut down for 10 hours or something, as I understand it. And again, this information was excluded from the record. I don't understand that. I don't understand how TRPA operates and has operated through this whole process. It's really egregious in my view. So I'm really wondering, like, what is going on here with TRPA bending over backwards to break every law for Verizon? And that's what I'm here to interrupt. And we're going to keep telling you, you know about these monopines until you hear us, because I just can't believe, after we presented the information on the plastics and the discharge of toxic materials from these monopines, that, you know, TRPA just moved right on past it. Well, we've now got the water board out there attending to your mess, and it's not right. So you're going to approve them, and the water board will go out and clean them up. Is that how it's going to work? I don't mean to get heated here, but these issues are close to my heart. And, you know, I just can't believe that you would allow this kind of microplastic pollution in Lake Tahoe. We have a microplastics problem in Tahoe, that's known. We have no evidence. And this is the other thing. TRPA assumes the absence of evidence is the evidence they need, that there's no problem here. We don't need to look at this. We don't need to apply science. We don't need to listen to the public. We don't need to do anything here other than just move ahead on behalf of our telecom partners.
Sure, I'm sorry. Can you wrap?
I'm wrapped.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
I'm wrapped at any moment. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. At this time, I'll call out our committee members for any comments or questions. Shelley?
Mr. Miller, I understand that you're very passionate about this, and I certainly appreciate that passion. You know, in your submittal here, you indicate that this should have been approved as a Class 3 tower, which carries a higher engineering safety standard. Hasn't that perhaps higher, at least an element of that higher engineering standard, been met with a deeper footing to achieve greater public safety?
No, I don't believe so, because if you read my comments carefully, you'll find that I called attention to the fact that it appears this tower was designed without consideration of snow and ice loading. And the only response we've received is that the permit's been approved by the city. So no, I don't have any assurance that this tower is the least bit safe. I feel that unless that question can be answered, this tower is patently unsafe because it didn't account for the snow and ice loading that we have here. And I believe that's because it was designed by people out of Arizona and stamped by a civil engineer here in California who didn't do due diligence. And then we have a lack of diligence on the part of the city, but we also have a lack of diligence on the part of TRPA, because again, you're finding health and making health and safety findings that this is also great, but you never did an environmental impact statement. You never said, what is it that constitutes safety? How many towers can we have before we create an unsafe condition? And again, as this wireless, I don't know what you call it, wireless industry has crept into our basin over time, we've got more and more towers, we've got antennas all over the place, and there's never been an environmental impact statement done. And if you had looked at it, you would say, hey, look, you know, when they first started coming in, the fire conditions were different. Now we're in an extremely, extremely critical fire situation. If the Caldor fire wasn't a wake-up, I don't know what is. It's just incredible to me. These towers do fall. They catch fire from the base. They got fuel on site. They got, you know, all kinds of things that can go wrong. Much of it has happened during welding, like, or during construction, like this pipeline break we had. If it had happened under different circumstances or caused a fire or an explosion, we might not be here now. This town might not be here now. And that is just ridiculous for a friggin' phone call.
All right, sir.
Okay, I think we have to tell you with Verizon. Are you the engineer with Verizon?
He's on the phone.
Okay. So that's public comment.
Yes.
Okay. Gentlemen, who wants to comment publicly? Well, this is kind of a broader discussion that I think we need to have this morning. Obviously, we're focusing on the fact that your appeal for a stay was not granted. And so the question is, and I guess, John, maybe you can respond to this. I don't want to monopolize the community's time, but, you know, is certain, and I'm assuming what your answer is going to be, but in terms of process, obviously, Mr. Miller is calling our process into question, whether or not we were diligent in following that process. Would you like to comment on some of her assertions?
Sure. Mara and I touch on two things that Alan talked about. One was the scheduling of the appeal, and the second one is the IEC. So first, regarding scheduling, when there is a stay request within rules of procedure, fundamentally you move if the stay request is, particularly if it's granted to a certain extent, you move the hearing to the next available hearing, which was in September. The reason why we didn't get back to Mr. Miller within 2 days, the second day of that 2 day period was a governing board day. So we got back the next day following. to Mr. Miller and told him about the partial stay that was in place against the pouring of concrete. Then about the IEC. So an IEC was prepared for this project. The question is whether or not there's need to be supplemented for this plan revision. And that's really how TRPA looked at that issue. And there was no need to prepare any supplemental information because the information that was indicated by the groundwater report was that there was no groundwater intercepted down at 19 feet. There was no reason to supplement the original IEC and the original finding of no significant effect or the FONSI from the original project. So that's the basis for there was no requirement to prepare an additional environmental checklist.
And using borehole is standard practice in the industry.
What I would say is it's really site specific. Oftentimes, if soils, and we have Bridget here, and there's Julie Roll.
She's online.
Julie Roll is here as well. And Julie is the one who really deals with these. And she'll look at it on a kind of on a case by case basis as to whether or not she feels additional material information needs to be presented. And in this case, the board had already taken action on the report that was crashed, that was issued. And she didn't feel there was any additional need for supplemental information beyond the board in this case. So that's.
So the Mr. Miller has kind of alleged that TRPA was bending over backwards to accommodate the applicant. Obviously we could have approved an excavation exception beyond the October 15th deadline, right? If the stay had been granted.
Yes, there are grounds for going beyond October 15th. It is, I'm not certain that they would qualify if they haven't commenced excavation in the first place, but I think Julie also might be able to address that, but that's a little more doubtful because they haven't commenced yet. And so really what we try to do is get people to finish up rather than just initiate new grading.
Well, they had already excavated down to 7.5 feet, right?
The stay request had, at that point, there was no grading that had occurred.
Well,
I had no objection to them excavating to the original approved depth.
Okay.
We didn't object to that.
Thank you.
Shall we?
I'm done. Yes. Thank you.
Bye. Do you have a case?
No. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm good. So with that, we next go on to public comment. Are we ready for public comment?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. All set. We start with public in-house here.
Yep.
Individually, come on up. And I will just do a quick comment here. Any member of the public wishing to address the governing board on this agenda, or the committee on this agenda. So now let's remind everybody to turn. Well, we don't have microphones, so I can do that. And you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you all for being here today, board members and voting members, and all TRPA legal team and staff. And Verizon. Verizon is the largest company in the world. The telecom industry is polluting the earth. I hope you know that there's a plan of 800,000 towers across the United States by 2026. Does anyone know that? Let me just read a little bit and then I'll go into my thing here. My name is Bob and I represent Tahoe for Safe Tech. I want you to each ask the question to yourselves. I would like to pose the question. Are you okay with polluting the drinking water for 12 million people? For 12 million people. Bridget, you told me personally.
Sir, can you
never investigated the
sir,
water.
Sir, can you please just go down?
Yes. They never investigated the water. She told me that personally. This guy from Verizon, they're a capitalist company.
It's all about making money. They're not protecting our environment. So second, this appeal should be upheld solely on the fact this property is already overbuilt and well beyond allowable coverage. TRP was put in place to protect our water. Verizon and your staff have failed us and you, all of you. Your staff failed you. You told me directly there was no water investigations. You stated, Mr. Albritton, that you guys didn't know the plastics were coming off of the trees. Well, then how do you replace them every five years? How do they replace them every 5 years? He stated that they didn't know this. Here's the facts. This is one of them. I mean, it has lead in it, so I'm sorry about dropping some lead around. I've got bags and bags of the shit at my house. Excuse me for my words.
Yeah, please. Let's
this try is keep very respectful. Unacceptable. Very unacceptable.
Let's keep this respectful.
Yes, and I'm very sorry about this. Nova South. We recently discovered these fake monopine cell towers shed extensively. It's illegal. We caught them. I sent the material down myself to Santa Fe Springs to the lab that investigated the AT&T label or cable that has 3 pounds of lead per foot, and the cable is 8 miles long. They're getting ready to take it out. I called that lab. I called that attorney. I sent the material to that lab. It all has lead in it. It all has lead in it. You're all polluting our lake, and you're okaying it. You're so sweet and smiley, Mr. Marshall.
Bob, get 30 seconds.
I just really. So they've been shedding these toxic materials since installation, though you are not made aware of this. They put new material on these years every 5 years. Where does the material go? Everyone knows anything that's dropped in the basin ends up in the lake, period. You all know this. I personally sent the material. It contains lead. This is your chance to stand up and stop this industrial scale pollution. Save Lake Tahoe. And I close again and ask you the question, are you okay with polluting the drinking water for 12 million? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And
I will be leaving some of the materials here for your own. This is one thing also I'd like to show you. The material breaks in tiny little pieces. You can see them all right here. I sent video to the board.
Thank
and
you.
I would like you guys to make sure that you do see those videos.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Bob.
There's some of the materials for you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Please. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. And I just want to remind everybody that we need to stay on topic here. This discussion today is about the drilling, about the...
This is about political.
Sir, please.
This is about plan revision.
Please. And so let's try to keep this at the subject matter, which is the extra amount of excavation. Okay. Anybody else from the public? We have 3 minutes. Come on up.
Hi.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Melvina Wallace, and thanks for being here. I know this is a really emotional thing, and it's about the excavation and all that. I'm just a mom and a local. I've been here over 20 years, raising my kids here from Tahoe Parents Nursery School to South Tahoe High School. And I don't want to live here anymore in this neighborhood because of all these towers that are coming and invading our homes. I'm speaking on behalf of over 5,000 signatures we've collected from community members that don't want this tower. TRPA has ignored important studies on the cell towers that impact human health, and the tower also violates the Endangered Species Act by being adjacent to a SEZ that is home to an endangered species of frog. In addition to violating the law, TRPA has failed to listen to the people because it is clear that the community does not want this here. It caters to out-of-towners. I've lived on Ski Run. I have a business on Ski Run. I stream videos. My kids are on Zoom meetings. We've never had a problem with connection. There's a tower across the street from our house. There's one down the street next to the Black Bear Inn, and there's also one behind us at the Whole Foods. So nothing is overloaded. There's not a problem. We've never had a problem. This is for out-of-towners. I've seen in Kings Beach on busy weekends, like 4th of July or whatever, when there is any mobile towers going up to accommodate, but I don't see why there has to be this giant plastic tree in front of our homes. The TRPA has ignored important studies and discounted expert advice and has applied inconsistent reasoning in finding that the tower at Ski Run does not pose any reasonable risk to man or the environment. What risk mitigation measures are necessary, and where is the analysis of how this tower will affect the yellow-legged frog habitat? This tower is also in direct violation of our local city ordinance in place. I believe it's 200 feet away from homes. Is the local city ordinance. Verizon has already forced local families and animals to flee their homes. How many more people will they harm? Please grant the appeal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
How's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Fun stuff. My name is Ben Leibovitz, and I want to remind all of you that we are still in a federal litigation that hasn't gone away. The judge agreed to uphold the appeal a previous time, and even if they erect this under your guise, it still could be torn down, and then there could be viable cause for all of you. I'd like to make note of the evidentiary supporting people that come in on behalf of Verizon to convey to you that what they say is accurate. Upon the excavation and the drilling, which I have to hear every day. It's been about a month of just pounding. I went and talked to one of the foremen, and I said, I think the craziest thing about this whole thing is that they say it's gonna be below the tree line. They had a professional photo simulator say that it'll live below the tree line. There's not a single tree on that site over 60 feet. This is a 112 foot tall tower. He laughs. He says, yeah, maybe if they grow 30 years before it'll reach what they promised to you and led you to believe that they were correct. What will you do about Dan Carmichael lying to you in the last appeal? And this is a matter because it relates to the excavation, because I went down there and talked to him. And this is a person installing the facility, saying there is no way that that's correct. I'd also like to make note that the microplastics situation, the cleanup crews for volunteers that pick up trash in Lake Tahoe, commendable. They picked up 1,500 pounds of trash last year after the 4th of July. This year, I think it was like 3,000 pounds. And we're looking at a massive scale here, close to 20,000 to 28,000 pounds around the lake of this microplastic stuff that falls off and is tested for lead annually. Not in total, annually. And we have collection videos of them replacing the material on another site.
Wrap up, please.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
I think that's about it. Also, 4 years of not submitting these new excavation plans and with the idea that this would be a 30-foot pylon potentially, you would think that they would have had 13-feet excavation in mind from the get.
Thank you, Ben. Any other further public comment in the room?
Can I say one more
thing? No, I'm sorry if you're going to throw up. Yeah, sorry. We'll be talking at the governing board again. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Is there anyone online?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Thank you.
The first hand raised was Molly Armenino. Molly, if you're on mute, you can address the committee.
Yeah, I actually joined this call for the climate discussion, but after hearing so many people kind of passionately speak up to TRPA, I think I also would like to say that I can't just hearing, to be honest, I haven't looked at the process or the site plans, but I am a planner and I can't believe that an environmental checklist has not been filed for something of a scale like this for a commercial property. And I don't really think this is okay. I don't hear people okay with this. I don't see how the community benefits from this whatsoever. Clearly, this was not investigated. This was not reviewed properly. As a community member, I'm offended. I'm sad. And as a planner, I don't view this as a successful project at all. And I do not support this whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
The next hand raised was Doug Flaherty. I think you unmute. You can address the committee.
Doug, we can't hear you.
Looks like you are unmuted, Mr. Flaherty. Please make sure your microphone is connected.
Still not hearing you.
One more second.
We'll give you a second more, Doug, and then we'll try someone else and then come back to you again. So maybe check your microphones in the meantime.
Doug, we'll circle back to you. Next hand raised was Robert Berg. Robert, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Robert Berg. I'm one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs in the federal litigation. I'm just giving public comment here today. I'm not involved in the appeal per se. Process is important, and it's important for the TRPA to follow its own rules, which have not done here. And it's really very concerning. Mr. Marshall seems to make up whatever rules suits him at the time. And I think that's wrong. And I think you really have to hold the TRP staff to account. When we had our initial issue with the appeal in March, it was convenient for Mr. Marshall to delay the appeal for 2 months while he worked at an arrangement with respect to the microplastics issue with Verizon. And here he accelerates the appeal so that Verizon can dig its big hole before the snow season comes in. And it's just not appropriate to play with the rules like that. One important thing that we've discovered early on before, during the earlier appeal, I tried to get information on what amount of material Verizon was going to be using for the monopine branches and needles. And Verizon never told anyone what materials they were going to use and how many branches, what poundage. For the first time in the application here for the larger dig, they provided new specs, and you actually can see the branch layout, and you can actually calculate the poundage of the material. They're going to be putting 10,000 pounds of PVC plastic and FRP, fiberglass reinforced plastic, on this monopine tower, 10,000 pounds. And as we showed you earlier in March, this stuff gets ripped off in the harsh environment in Tahoe very quickly and creates a debris field around the base and far afield, because particularly with the pine needles, the PVC pine needles, the stuff flies all over the place and becomes microplastics and is going to wind up in the lake, as others have said. So you have 10,000 pounds going on this single monopine tower. Here you have an opportunity to stop this. And now we have Lahontan Water Board investigating this waste discharge of lead-containing microplastics. You have an opportunity with this appeal to stop this project. It's your last opportunity to do so. If not, we're in federal litigation. Hopefully the court will find our way. If they build this tower, it can come down. And that's what we're going to ask the court to do. But this is your last opportunity to do the right thing, and we ask you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd just like to remind everyone that we are still talking about the excavation only today. Thank you.
Mr. Flaherty? He is unmuted.
Doug, check your microphones, because we're not hearing you.
He's still unmuted. I don't see any indication from Zoom that the microphone is picking him up.
Okay. So in the meantime, Doug, you might check to see if you can get maybe perhaps a newer version, or if worse comes worse, send us a written comment to our on our website. You can find a place for written comments and send that in to us. But we're not picking up your voice. Sorry. Is there anyone else on
there? There are no other hands raised to come up.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to bring this back to our committee. Okay. All right, this is a time for the committee to deliberate, to make a recommendation on this matter to our general board. Any more comments or questions?
Any more comments?
Well, my only comment is, I mean, again, just to remind everyone, we're not acting on the larger project. We're merely acting on the plan revision request by Verizon to deepen the excavation for safety reasons. And I think there are adequate reasons for that excavation to be deepened in order to assure the stability and integrity of this tower. It does not speak to the larger issue of whether or not cell towers are appropriate or safe, and that's something that will, I'm sure, be fully litigated in connection with the current litigation that's in progress.
Comments, or are we ready for a motion?
Well, I just comment that I concur with Shelley's analysis of this. We're not looking at these bigger questions today. That's been addressed already by the board when they gave the original permit, and that's subject of the litigation. Is that not correct, John?
That's correct.
So the issue is raised, and the parties are at it before the federal court. This is just a matter of the depth, which is a safety issue. And I think that by going deeper here, I mean, just from my layman's perspective, they get a greater degree of safety for the construction of the already approved tower. So I think I don't have any further comment. I mean, I think the appeal should be recommended for denial.
Mr. Yates.
I think the most thing is troubling is the criticism of basically our process. And listening to our general counsel, given the appearance that we just bent over backwards for the appellant, we had a prior permit that recognized it's a possibility we're going to have to go deeper. And that's what happened. And I don't think that I can appreciate people's concerns about further environmental review, but that had been previously evaluated. So I really don't find fault with our process. So anyway, I also I make a motion to just, I guess, for the committee's recommendation to deny the appeal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill, would you mind mentioning, I know the last time we were here, you recused based on stop records. Did you just want to address that quickly?
I have recused myself from the prior discussions on this matter, both of the before the governing board and before this committee, simply because of the Yates Family Trust having investment in Verizon, but
you should recuse yourself now.
Excuse me.
Oh, I did, and I no longer have any investment in Verizon, so there's really no reason to do that, other than I have a cell phone like all the rest of us.
Okay, that's acceptable for me. Yeah, and I find that the same conversation that we're talking about here is about the excavation, about the safety of having a deeper level. The other areas, a lot of these concerns will be addressed, have been addressed previously, and will be addressed in the appeal. So with that, I've got a motion and any further discussion from the committee. Not, I'm going to ask Catherine for a roll call vote, please.
Withholding?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Ms. Navasal?
Yes.
No.
Madam Chair, that motion passes. All right. So that motion passes. And that is a recommendation to go to the governing board, which we will be hearing next. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. All right. So with that, we're going to be going on to agenda item number 4, closed session. Was canceled to discuss existing and potential litigation. Committee members and staff will move to a closed session. The main session will resume after the closed session is over. Remote committee members, please wait to be moved into Zoom breakout. Okay, we need a motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
All right, thank you. with that, I'll pass that on to John. Once everyone's left. Thank you.
So we're off the screen. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think we have another opportunity for us to perform, and that's what we'll be thinking. Perform or call. You don't want to turn up.
We no longer have a order to abolish TRPA as we no longer serve them.
And John, is that your bag over?
That's my bag.
Okay. And we're still recording?
By the way, I again apologize for arriving late. You know, I just I had in my head that immediately.
5, potential direction regarding item 4.
We had to vote on the motion.
Yeah, it's. Let's say we need to vote on it. Pardon?
Voice vote.
Oh, okay. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
We're done.
So, just need a motion to adjourn. Shelley gave us a motion to adjourn. All right, we're adjourned. Sorry.
Okay.
I can't read my little notes fast enough. where Shelley when I need her? So, I'm sitting on Jester.